going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Nino had a great experience when he listed his Oakmont home with Gina. Her cost-efficient tips made our showroom ready, Nino said. Sold for $350,000. Gina will sit down with you. You agree on a price and a deadline. Deadline passes. Home isn't sold. Gina will have it bought and turned into a rental. You can't lose. Call the only agent I would trust if I needed to sell my home in Pittsburgh. Gina Giampietro of RE/MAX Select Realty, 724-602-9752. Google Giampietro of RE/MAX Select Realty and look up GinaWillSellYourHome.com. That's GinaWillSellYourHome.com.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Welcome back. Hour number two of B. Mitch and Finley. Toby Altizer in for JP today alongside Brian Mitchell. It's time to get out to the Rude guest hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. And bring in our friend Thor Nystrom talking about the NFL draft. Thor, what's going on?
How you doing, boys?
We're doing good, man.
So I wanted to start. We're getting reports today. Peter Schrager was on Get Up on ESPN today saying that there are potentially trades that could happen in the top 10, looking at Cleveland and maybe the Giants at 3. And James Palmer added on to that saying, quote, I know a team in the top 10 that is head over heels for Travis Hunter. They have been for a while. Any idea who one of these teams could be? And do you think there's a possibility that they trade up to 2 or 3 and take Travis Hunter?
I would say that there's 32 teams you could describe their feelings about Travis Hunter that way. So I'm sure teams are trying. You know, like if we were sitting in that seat, are you not going to call to Andrew Berry and just try, right, and just see what it would take? I would be beyond stunned if Cleveland did that. Travis Hunter, not only the best player in this class, we haven't seen something like Travis Hunter before. Don't get cute with this Andrew Berry. Just pick him at 2.
But the thing about him, he's saying if they don't let him play both sides, he don't want to play football, which I think is just a lie. will a team allow him to play too much on another side of the ball? Because at this point, they don't let people really practice today because they're worrying about injuries.
Yeah, that's an interesting question with Travis Hunter. Of course, he's going to play both ways, and that's what he has wanted. He was playing both ways in the FCS. You know, some people are like, oh, why would he play both ways on his rookie contract and, you know, increase his injury risk? Who's doing it in the FCS? So he's been talking about this for a long time. He wants to be the Shohei Ohtani of football. So he's going to get that opportunity to play both ways. But to your point, that is the interesting one here, the topical thing here. Is the amount of snaps that human body can handle in year one without severely elevating the injury risk. We haven't seen a guy like this before. This is a unicorn. It's something new. And so it's going to be your analytics department doing regression analysis of the guys who played the most snaps in all the previous years of the NFL. What can we find? Can we ballpark a snaps count per game that's not going to, you know, go beyond sort of our risk threshold of where we're comfortable at with the injury risk there? And then, of course, the medical team as well. You have to protect Travis Hunter from himself. And honestly, you have to protect the coaching staff from themselves, because if they had their druthers, they'd do what Travis wants, which is 100% snaps on both sides. Got to get a cap in there for the rookie season, and then we'll just see after that if we can add extra snaps to that in the future.
Talking with Thor Nystrom from Fantasy Life, another guy that's going to go early is Ashton Jeanty. What spot do you see? It seems like a lot of people think that he could end up going to the Raiders. Maybe the Jaguars snatch him up a pick before at pick number 5. Where do you think he ends up going, and how good do you think he's going to be in the league?
The Raiders are the last stop on that sixth slot. That's the last stop at the train depot. If he gets there, that card's going to get turned in real quick. But the two slots ahead of that are pretty fascinating. It has been assumed that the Patriots will just take Will Campbell. why? I haven't gotten a good explanation on that. Will Campbell cannot play tackle in the NFL. His arms are too short. We've never seen a tackle with wingspan that short, arms that short, even hang, much less succeed. Will Campbell's a guard in the NFL. And when you, it's like, why, you know, you start asking the question of why would you take him in the fourth slot? It always comes back to, oh, he was really good in the interviews, really good guy. It's like, I want more out of the fourth slot than that. I wonder if they are leaning into that Will Campbell thing with their sources so that more questions are not asked. And I wonder if there is a mystery target there, and it could be Genty. Five slot, I've been told for a while that Jacksonville likes Genty. Would they take him for themselves? That I don't know, but it is a new administration. It is a new coaching staff and an offensive leaning one. So that is in play, as well as a trade from a team looking to make the swing up the board. You know, whether to beat the Raiders for Genty or whether to beat the couple teams behind there for Tyler Warren. I've heard to watch out for the 49ers. 49ers have an enormous amount of draft equity, all these picks. 49ers are looking to move up, and I think the targets would surprise people. They want an offensive skill star, whether it be Warren, whether it be Genty. It's a team that plays positionless football. So the four or five slots are the really interesting ones to monitor for Genty. But, yeah, if he gets a six, that's a done deal.
We're 2 days away from the draft, and we've heard all kind of stuff from Shadur being good, Shadur sliding. People are, I guess, leery of him being Deion's son, all this. Where do you think he ends up going?
I'm going to say 9 to the Saints. And if he gets by them, I think there's a real shot of Cleveland in the mid-teens. Cleveland's another team with an enormous amount of draft equity, trading up into the teens to stop Shadur's fall. Those are the two scenarios that I see playing out there. The Saints make a lot of sense, but I don't know if the Saints, if you're basically looking to quasi-tank this coming season because you have no chance anyway. If you're going to do that, you probably wouldn't want to press the quarterback issue, especially with Arch Manning on the horizon. I don't know if we can convince Arch to come out after 3 years. The other two Mannings, they stayed 4 years, and that was not the NIL era. But you know, they're making decisions on different things. But that's how I sort of see the Shadur thing. I also think there's about a 15% chance he could go in the 3 slot to the Giants. 85% Abdul Carter. I still strongly lean that way, but the ownership group traveled with the coaches, the Giants, to Shadur Sanders' last workout. And as you guys know, when it's a quarterback, that's when the ownership group gets involved with the decision. Mm-hmm. So I think you have to put that at around 15%. But assuming that the Giants go Abdul Carter, I'm going to say the Saints.
We are familiar with ownership calling in and drafting quarterbacks around here.
Oh, yeah. So
that's bad memories on that one. But thankfully, we're fine now. Sticking with the quarterback position, what do you think the chances are that more than two quarterbacks go in the first round of the draft? And specifically for Washington, do you think that there's a chance that someone early in the second round that wants a quarterback would be willing to come up 229 to maybe draft a Jackson Dart or if Jalen Milroe or whoever it may be at that spot?
My thoughts on this have totally changed over the last 10 days to 2 weeks. Before, I would have said a 2-1 favorite outcome or even a little bit better under 2.5 quarterbacks. Now, I would totally flip on that, as kind of the books have as well, to go over it. And one thing, you know, where it tipped this off was the invites to Jalen Milroe and Dart to the first. Now, Dart was taken off the invite list, so I'm curious there if he declined the invite. Milroe's going, though. And I think between those possibilities and that, you know, the Steelers being a quarterback needy team back there and then the teams at the top of the second, you have a couple teams with the quarterback needs that are projected to go in different directions with the first round pick, right? The Browns and the Giants, those Browns and Giants could easily, like I just mentioned, trade up. The Browns, if they can't get Shadur, that's not a possibility for them. That trade up, you can do what the Panthers did last year with Xavier Legette when they traded, I think it was a 6th round pick to go from the 33rd slot to the 32nd with the Bills. Bills took the receiver they were going to take anyway, first pick of the second round in Keon Coleman. They picked up an extra like 6th round pick. You could see Cleveland making a similar trade like that, a slot or two up so they can give the 5th-year option on Milroe's contract. But because of all those factors, I'm definitely going over 2.5 quarterbacks first round.
Thor, we normally are picking in the top 10 or somewhere close to it because we normally are not a very good football team around this town. We have changed that a bit and picking at 29. Who do you think Washington takes?
I think it's going to be a two-way edge. I think I'm going to say Shamar Stewart. If Mykal Williams falls down there, I think it'd be Mykal. I think Mykal's going to go a little bit above that. I'm going to say Shedeur Sanders. You guys know edge is the biggest need there, and they don't want the one-trick pony pass rusher. They wouldn't have gotten frustrated with Dante Fowler if they were targeting a guy like that. They want the guy who is going to set the clean edge and play team concept football and run defense. That's Shamar Stewart. Shamar Stewart, the pass rushing thing, we'll see if that ever gets there. You know, 4.5 sacks over his career, but the athletic profile, of course, is high end, especially north-south. He's an absolute load. And tremendous in run defense, which for me, that puts a pretty high floor on that prospect. People talk about him as like boomer bust. I actually don't think so. I think the ceiling's a bit lower than people think, and I think the floor is way higher because he's an awesome run defender. It's exactly what Washington's looking for. That would be the name I would circle.
When you look at the other side of the ball, receiver, running back, potential at 29, do you think that they would go there over going with an edge rusher if they are enamored with Emeka Egbuka, or maybe if they wanted to go ahead and take Trevion Henderson if he's available at 29? Do you think that would be a possibility there?
I think the higher probability outcome would be if one of those couple guys, the two-way edge guys, doesn't get there that is worth that slot. I think you bail. I think you trade down. And at that point, you can get to the top of the second, the two guys that fit really well, Landon Jackson and Nick Scorton. Both those guys are going to do exactly what you want there. And also, you would be in the position for a more acceptable to me slot for Trevion. Like, let's say that those two guys get popped in between, right? And so the two-way edge still is not available to you. Trevion Henderson would be a great fallback option at that point. So I think that's how it would play out. Trevion, and I love the idea of bringing him home, of course, and I love Trevion as a prospect. I comp him to Reggie Bush. He's like a more aggressive Reggie Bush kind of. But I would rather do that early second because of the depth of this running back class. And then Washington, you have the other need, the two-way edge, and then, of course, the boundary cornerback. So that's how I played if I was Washington.
We hear this draft is not like most. I guess when you don't have a lot of quarterbacks coming out, it normally gets knocked down some. What is the position that you think is the best in this draft?
Running back for sure. This could be the best running back class the last 25 years.
Wow.
Right? Like so that one for sure the top. And then number two, I would say interior defensive line. It's a pretty stacked class there. Edge is pretty close. Edge might be three or four. I think this is a really good edge group, but those would be my top position groups.
Talking with Thorne Eystrom from Fantasy Life here on B. Mitch and Finley. Toby Altizer in for JP today. We always talk about the first round. Second round, Commanders picking at pick number 61. Assuming that they weren't to go edge rusher in the first round or they traded down and did go with a Trevion Henderson, whatever it may be, what kind of options would they have if they wanted to go back in the edge market or even if they wanted to double up, frankly, if they wanted to take an edge rusher at 61?
The guys there, I would be praying that Nick Scorton fell there. I think probably that. JTT, the last name I'm not great with, but the Ohio State edge rusher, I think would be a fit there as well. Those maybe Jordan Birch as well would be one other name that I would toss out, a guy that can set the edge for you. But yeah, I would rather I want acts if I'm Washington, knowing exactly specifically what they need. It would be I need one of those two guys late first, or else I want Scorton or Landon Jackson in the first 10 picks of the second round. I think you need to come out with one of those four guys to address like specifically what your top priority is.
So off of that, so you think that's kind of the fall off, that if you don't get one of those dudes, that's kind of the end. And if that's the case, then you kind of feel like maybe they failed a little bit.
That's what I'm monitoring if I'm them. Yeah. Like, and I want to do it at the right price point. I don't want to take Scorton or Jackson with the first round slot, right? Like you want to get the assets at the correct price point. So It's a little bit of a three-dimensional chess game, of course, and you're going to monitor that. And if you're Washington, you're praying that edges don't start flying off the board. You know, like last year with the quarterback and the offensive tackle position, it was like everyone is jumping over themselves to take one of those positions. You're just hoping you're not in that scenario. I don't think we will be. But, yeah, that's what you're monitoring. And again, for me, that first pick, you want to come out with one of those four guys because then your top need as a team is addressed. You can then move on to the running back thing, be it that, be it the boundary cornerback. You feel you can get one there late second round. But the problem for me with waiting for the late second round for that edge guy is I for sure one of those four guys is going to be off the board. Then you have to go down to the next tier. And if you want to fix that, now we have gone in jeopardy of another season that being an issue.
if you're looking at this, if you're Adam Peters and you're sitting there, and obviously edge rusher is at the top priority. I think we've talked about that. It sounds like you're kind of in agreement there. What else do you feel like you want to walk out of this draft with if you're Washington?
The receiver, running back, boundary cornerback, edge, those are for sure top. And then I think the next one would be tackle. I would like to get a tackle where we can kick Brandon Coleman inside. I think that's where he belongs. I think his game will play up there. I don't know if you can do with the picks. I don't know if I could get a guy day one that can help me with that. Maybe a developmental one with tackle, prioritizing some of these other positions. But, yeah, that would be my other one.
Looking at this safety class, good safeties. Do you think there's someone that they maybe could target there at 61? Because you look at losing Jeremy Chinn, they bring in Will Harris, but maybe they could find someone there that can kind of step into Chinn's shoes?
I think for sure that's a possibility. I don't think Amanwari is going to fall down there. That could be – Amanwari could go closer to the mid-second, I think, than people are realizing. But that could be one option there. As far as other safeties, the guy that I really like is – he doesn't play like Chinn, but I like Xavier Watts from Notre Dame because he's such a killer in coverage. I don't think he's going to be there. Maybe Andrew Mukaba. That's another really good coverage guy from Texas. He'll be there. That would be another guy I point to. But, yeah, probably those guys. Safety, it's a little bit tougher because if you get boxed out of the Starks, Watts, and Manwari group, you're either going with a nickel guy or else you're hoping that you can develop a guy as a starter. So that's a little trickier position there.
Real quick, go ahead.
The corner from East Carolina is slipping me right now.
Siobhan Revelle.
What's his deal?
Revelle, coming off the season-ending injury he suffered in September in practice, but I think that guy's going to be had for a discount on draft day because of that. He was one of the most dominant press man corners that we had in college football the last couple of years, just totally shut down with that. The measurables speak for themselves. It's the reason he gets the Tariq Woolen comparisons there. Like I said, it's a depressed price point there because you missed most of your last season. You're coming off that injury. You're coming up from the G5, but that guy's legit. That, for me, that's a late first-round prospect, and he's going to go in round two, so I think there's definitely you're going to get a discount there.
A couple of corners that seemed to be falling that were maybe consensus one of the top guys coming in was Will Johnson and Benjamin Morrison dealing with some injuries. Where do you think those guys could go, and do you think that maybe some of the flaws, whether it's the injuries with Morrison or maybe some of the play this past season for Will Johnson, will knock them down and maybe also hurt what they can be as players in the league?
Yeah, I think with Johnson, you're looking at mid-first round. There is a possibility he gets into the 20s because of the poor athletic testing there. And on tape, there was some struggles with his back to the quarterback, which speak to that. In his own system, though, I think he's going to be awesome. It's a guy coming forward when he can have his eyes on the quarterback. He really good instincts. The trigger downhill, he jumps passing lanes. So very good for that. But he's got to find the right system fit, like I said. And then Benjamin Morrison, no idea. Benjamin Morrison, no idea because of the hip injury. And hip injuries, that's really where you are leaning so heavily on your medical staff and how did they see that stuff during the medical, the combine rechecks and that sort of a thing. Just because it's a hip thing, we don't know. Like, we don't know with those medical teams. How are they seeing it, each individual one? So that Benjamin Morrison is a first-round talent that you would think would go in round two, but if the hip injury, if that news is a little bit, scarier and makes teams more trepidatious, possibility falls into round three, and then just becomes a shoot for the moon thing.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. Maybe someone can get a really, really good player there in round three if he can stay healthy.
Yep.
Appreciate the time, Thor. Enjoy
the
draft coming up on Thursday, man.
Hey, thanks so much, boys. Always good talking to you.
That's Thor Nystrom from Fantasy Life joining us on the Rude Guest Hotline. Coming up next, want to dive into the Commanders' offensive line. You heard maybe there's a chance that they could try to upgrade the O-line there from Thor at the offensive tackle position. Did they do enough, and how close do you think that they could be to elite on the offensive line? We'll talk about it next here on B Mitch and Fitz.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Toby Altizer in for JP today. Appreciate Thor Nystrom for joining us. Last segment coming up at noon. We'll have Barstool Nate at 1 o'clock. We'll have Alan May. Plenty of Caps hockey talk coming up a little bit later on in the show. Was just showing B. Mitch a video of Jaden Daniels running into the facility in Ashburn.
Like he ran a 4-2.
It looks like he ran a 4-2, so I was just looking it up. Today is the first day of Phase 1 of OTAs for the Commanders. Phase 1, according to Commanders.com, consists of the first 2 weeks of the program. Activities are limited to meeting, strength and conditioning, and physical rehabilitation only. So just getting out, getting the body a little bit loose, getting back into form.
Your job is playing football.
Yeah.
Why do you have to be told you can't work out in that type of, you know, it is
weird.
Listen, that is one rule that I thought was the dumbest thing when I played. If I am a guy who plays this, my body is my tool. Why shouldn't I be able to always go to the facility and work it out? Because this is what I hate. If you tell me I can't come to the facility to work out and I go somewhere else, you tell me it's non-football. If I'm always trying to be in shape, anytime I work out, it should be football related, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's dumb.
Absolutely. One other thing, too, before we get back into the Commanders. Tonight at Nationals Park and tomorrow, going to be giving away James Wood bobbleheads. They're oversized. You look on the stream on YouTube, I'm showing you. James Wood bobblehead.
Hey, oversized, that's just how big he is.
It's a regular size bobblehead, but made James Wood sized, right?
Yeah, he's big.
So make sure you get over to Nats Park one of the next 2 days. Beltway Series against the O's, James Wood bobbleheads. Want to talk about the Commanders, though, as they get their OTAs Phase 1 underway today. Offensive line. Looking at the O-line, it was interesting hearing what Thor Nystrom had to say about bringing in another tackle, maybe to move Coleman inside to guard. But when you look at this O-line now, B. Mitch, it's a different unit where in the last couple of years, I wouldn't say you felt great.
Nope.
If you felt good about the line, you were probably being a little bit bullish. If anything, they were average. I think now when you look at it, when you bring in Tunsil, you have Allegretti at left guard, which I'm not sold on Allegretti, but I think he played fine.
He played well.
I think you feel good at center at Biotish. Mm-hmm. Cosme, I don't know when he's going to be back. I tend to be a little
more.
When I go,
you're Brandon Coleman at guard right there.
Exactly. And I kind of think that if Cosme is back anytime before week 10, which would be around that 9-month mark from the time that he had the surgery on his ACL, then you feel good anytime before that. So he should be back at the end of the season and for the playoffs. So if that's the case, you feel good about that position. And then right tackle is either going to be Coleman or Wiley. And I think whoever loses that position should then just shift into right guard, right?
I think at this point, Wiley has played guard in the league. I think it may be smarter to move him in there and let Coleman play right tackle. And then when Cosme comes back, boom. Because although you're thinking about the present, you're thinking about the future.
Yes.
Brandon Coleman could be your guy for the next 5-10 years. Wiley's not going to be your guy for the next 5-10 years. And we have seen Wiley play. Some games, outstanding. Other games, eh. So
more of the end
at
games.
At that point, you begin to say Coleman could be your right tackle for the long haul. Allegretti is efficient enough to still be right there. And you got Biotish, your center. I think it's a formidable line.
Yeah, you feel a lot
with
better.
With a sixth man, when Cosby comes back, you still got Wiley who could be swing. He could play guard or tackle, you know, and then you start adding some other pieces to it.
Well, and I think when you look at Coleman, I don't want to move him into guard because that's last resort to me, right? Like, once he goes into guard, you say he can't play tackle. Maybe he can get out there in a pinch if you need it for injuries. But for the most part, once you move him into guard, he's staying in guard, right? Like,
But the thing about it, like, I think people make that guard tackle thing a little. If I got a guard who's a Pro Bowl guard every year, I'd much rather that guy be there instead of trying to force him outside. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Because when we drafted prior to Cosby, went down to
Brandon Sheriff.
Sheriff. He moved from tackle to guard. He was your best offensive lineman.
Yeah.
For years. So the guy, like, I want the best five people on the field. I don't care what you played in college. It's now at this level. Dallas did it. The Eagles do it. They get the best offensive lineman on the field. A lot of those guys were tackles. They moved them to guard. But we have the mindset still where, oh, man, they moved him to guard. It's done. No. They moved him to guard. He's the best one. And what do? They just role grade people. If he moves to guard and he's a role grader, cool with me.
Well, I don't even look at it as a negative. The reason I'm saying it is, like, you mentioned Brandon Sheriff. You mentioned Sam Cosmi. Once they moved inside to guard, they're not moving back out to tackle. Hmm? So I want to see if he can play tackle at a really solid level, I'll leave him at tackle because that's more valuable
than
guard. That's
why I said put him at tackle now while Cosmi is out.
Exactly.
Because he gains more experience. And to say this kid was a rookie third-round draft picker, came in last year playing left tackle, he did what most young people do. He hit a wall. But he was able to come outside the other side of that wall and play some okay football.
Yeah.
You know, he wasn't terrible.
Exactly.
He wasn't the worst offensive lineman.
I don't know that I looked at last year when Brandon Coleman was playing left tackle and said, ooh, liability. There were times when he was getting beat, no doubt about it. But I also didn't look at him as the biggest weakness, to your point. So I think for me, I'm giving him another chance to play offensive tackle at right tackle. If he shows that you still want to upgrade there, then you kick him inside to guard, and I think he'll be a really good guard. So it's not even a negative. You know for a fact that he's going to be one of your starting five. It's just figuring out the right place for him. You feel good about that, right? Mm-hmm. And I think when you look overall at this line now, over the last couple of seasons, you felt weaknesses.
Yeah.
You felt like there were spots where you're like, uh-oh. And I don't know that you feel that same way going into this year, especially when Cosmi comes back, because the big thing is, you have that left tackle position solidified.
Yeah, I feel more comfortable this year than I did in a long time.
I mean, since when? It's been a while.
It's been a while. Especially since Trent left.
I mean, it probably goes back to when Trent was here. Because even when Charles Leno was here, he was a serviceable left tackle. He wasn't a plus.
Turnstile.
At left tackle, right?
Turnstile.
So, I think he was
He's a swing a lot. He swing open, and they ran right past him. it's very subtle. If you look at it, guys will widen a little bit on the edge and come straight line quarterback. And the way he swiveled his hips and hinged, couldn't block him. And they run straight to the quarterback. That's why I never ever thought he was like a great one over there.
Well, and even so, he was not, you know, you clearly think he's worse than I did. But regardless, you have to go back to the Trent Williams days probably when you felt good about that left tackle position. And now you feel good about the left tackle position. Mm-hmm. You feel good about the center position. I think mixed on Allegretti, but regardless, you feel fine with him there.
Allegretti will fight. That's what I like about him. He's not the greatest, but he's not going to quit. He'll keep fighting and fighting and fighting. A lot of guys just give up on plays. The thing about him, he's a mauler and he's a brawler. When you got those guys inside that does it, all a running back needs is a little bit to get past them.
Yeah, and I think the other side now with figuring out with Wiley and with Coleman, they're going to have a competition at right tackle, and I think that's going to bring the best out of both of them, mm-hmm. hopefully. And then, you know, whichever one doesn't win maybe kicks into right guard. I think the guy that slept on, and I think you noticed a difference when he was injured at times last season, is Tyler Biadasz.
Oh, yeah.
I think bringing in a veteran center right to be able to help out with Jaden as a rookie and now going into his second year, I think Biadasz does a really, really good job on the interior of that offensive line. And so suddenly, years past, you'd look across the line and maybe feel good about one spot. I think it's the opposite, where you feel good about most spots, mm-hmm. and maybe you just don't feel great about, you know, one or two of them.
But also, this is a draft where you still have an opportunity to try and pick somebody.
Yeah. Well, you know? And that's what I was listening to the Junks driving in this morning. Ryan Wilson of CBS was on them, and he was talking about maybe them drafting Gray Zabel, who's a tackle, potentially a guard or center in the league out of North Dakota State.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, that'd be a little bit of a downer. And I don't know that it would be. Because if you drafted a dude who's a stud on the offensive line, B. Mitch, and you wherever you put him, if you suddenly have that as a weapon, suddenly the running back position where B-Rob struggled last year, Eckler was good when he was on the field, suddenly they become better. Yeah. Suddenly Jaden can stand in the pocket a little bit longer.
See, that's why what we look for, we're always looking for sexiness. That's the only thing that anybody
that's what Jeff looks for.
Looks at when someone steps on the field, if they're in a sexy position, we always look for skill positions. But if you don't have offensive linemen, the skill positions don't look as good. If you put a guard on your team and that dude is legitimate and he's consistent, it makes the quarterback better. The receivers have more time to get open. Your running backs have bigger holes.
Yeah.
Your tight ends get time. Make your team better. Anything that improves your team, that's a plus. I don't care about – you know what I don't like? When everybody start running around just happy and yapping, a quarterback, yes. But just because you pick a sexy position does nothing for me. If we're not talking about the position when it comes to week 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, why are we so excited about we draft a guy, we get excited, and they don't show up nowhere? So I care about offensive linemen. I just believe O-linemen, D-linemen, that's how your team get better. Yes, you need a quarterback, but you put a great quarterback on the team and have a suck-ass offensive line, he's going to suck.
I mean, look at Shedeur Sanders, right?
Let's be real.
If Shedeur was behind an offensive line that was legit, I think there's no question he'd be the number one overall pick.
Overall.
But because of the O-line and him having to figure stuff out on the fly all the time, I think that's part of the reason
he gets
knocked.
People that try to knock him don't even look at that. Think about that.
I mean, how many times, B-Mitch, when you watch Colorado, is he catching the snap and immediately running? And he's not an athletic quarterback.
Yes. So if you just look, if people stop assuming and listening to what someone else says and look at the game, you will notice the fact that that kid did what he did with that offensive line.
Yes.
It'll tell me more about his dad than it does about him. He don't know how to put together an offensive line. Okay. He was guy picking. He don't know how to put together an offensive line. But he excelled even with that bad offensive line.
Well, and I think, too, when you look at the team that just won the Super Bowl, that's what everybody looks at, right? When you're building a roster the next year after a team wins a Super Bowl, you look at that roster and say, is there something I can learn? Well, what's the number one takeaway from watching the Philadelphia Eagles? Have a good O-line and have a good D-line.
Yeah.
Yes, Saquon. But yes, you know, Hurts. Yes, A.J. Brown.
But what everybody said, man, we got to build up a line like the Eagles. And then when the draft comes along, all they want is the sexy picks.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I'm so glad that most people that does media are not inside those damn war rooms.
Most definitely. Most definitely. Keep the draft talk coming as the Washington Commanders getting set for the first round of the draft coming up on Thursday, pick number 29. Maybe take a look at some of Ron's drafts because Lamphill has on here biggest draft butts.
Why do we have to
Washington
do that,
history.
Why are you
maybe
torturing
we'll look,
us?
Maybe we'll just look at Ron's draft. We'll talk about more NFL draft coming up next year on The Fan. B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Toby Altizer in for JP today. About 12 minutes, Barstool Nate going to join us, talk some Capitals hockey. Continuing to talk about the Commanders and the offensive line, I think it's an interesting discussion about if they were to draft an offensive lineman, B-Mitch, I think some fans might be underwhelmed. Frankly, it doesn't really matter because, to me, when you look at what this team's priorities need to be over the next couple of years, any move that you make that helps Jaden with a weapon or protects Jaden Daniels is a plus because that is your dude right there.
Every fan would want them to do stuff to help Jaden.
Well, and you know what's so funny?
If you don't, then you're not really a fan.
It's funny, B. Mitch, because you bring up a good point that whenever we think about when Sam Howell was here a couple years ago before they had the quarterback, what did everyone call in and say that this team needed? Mm-hmm. They said, this team was built on the offensive line. Give me the hogs of old. Give me this and that.
Yeah.
And now that you have the quarterback, everybody's like,
you know why? Because they think their quarterback is a magician. You know what? You know what happened to quarterbacks that have to be magicians? They get hurt.
They get hurt.
If you get offensive line and you make their job easier, then they could be real effective with all the abilities that they have.
Yeah, and I think the big thing is if they can add, whether it's offensive line, whether it's another weapon, because to me that's the one thing with the offense. I feel like right now they can get by with it. I think so many people, when they look at it and I say I want a weapon or I say I want to do this, doesn't necessarily have to be a 29. But whenever I say it, they're like, oh, well, Jaden can. It's not necessarily what Jaden can do. I know he can do it. He showed me last year that he can do it with subpar in a lot of cases around him. I get that. I don't want to have to rely on that. Because
I don't want him to have to do that every time.
Exactly
when
right.
When he strains and stresses to do stuff, that causes issues.
Well, and
he
so,
needs to be able to do it very, very under control.
I mean, think about it. Michael Jordan, when he was with the Chicago Bulls, before Scottie Pippen was there, he scored 63 points in a playoff game. He can do that. Doesn't mean I always want him to do that. I need to get him help, right? And so Jaden has showed you that he can be a special player. He showed you that. I don't want to always have to rely on that because there are going to be times when maybe he's going to be a little dinged up. Or, like you said, you don't want to put him in a risk where more is on his shoulders, and in turn that leads to him having to run more and putting him more in harm's way.
For everybody
just help
that
him
gets
out.
Underwhelmed by offensive line, I'm going to take you back to the Philadelphia Eagle game in the season when he was a little banged up and the offensive line was banged up. He didn't get much time at all, did he? So if he's banged up and the offensive line healthier, maybe he could do a little more. Or if he's healthy and the offensive line is healthy, he can do a lot more. Stop thinking that it's all about just having the sexy positions and understand the engine and the transmission, offensive line, defensive line, is vitally important.
Well, and they need to get a run game going because last year they didn't have much of a run game in the second half of the season, and that can help him out as well. And so adding...
What helps out the run game?
Absolutely.
Not the running back necessarily. Everybody was talking about running back. If the running back has no holes to run through, then he can't run through them.
Correct.
Get a better offensive line overall, and I guarantee you you'll have more success on your offense.
Because they had an anomaly last year, B-Mitch, where they were playing ball control football, long sustained drives, being efficient, without running the football. That's not usually how you draw that up. Usually the way you play long drives and keep the ball and play ball possession is running the football 10 times on a 14-play drive. They weren't doing that. It was all Jaden.
But there's a man who has done that for years now with a Hall of Fame quarterback, Andy Reid.
Yeah.
That's what they do. They have 12, 13, 14, 15-play drives with swing route. Little screen, middle screen, the little shuffle pass. They throw it on the edge on the flat. Then they'll try one down the field. Then they come back and they'll run Pacheco. And they'll throw him a swing route or a screen route. And all at the end of the play, at the end of the drive, it's 15 plays. It might be 10 passes. And the running game wasn't that effective. But it gets you running and moving. And when you could get a defense having to react to what you're doing, you could kill them. And I think Cliff did a fantastic job of doing that last year. And people were so concerned about your quarterback that other guys were able to have great years. You get a better offensive line, then everybody has superb years.
I can't stop watching this video, B-Mitch, of Jaden just running into the facility. Big old smile.
He ready to rock.
Ready to roll.
He ready to rock.
I don't ever want to get to the point where you take it for granted that this team has a special quarterback that loves football. He doesn't want to do anything else but play football, right?
Like I love it.
You see him occasionally in commercials, but very rarely compared to other guys. He is here to play football and win a Super Bowl.
And if
someday.
He decides to get commercial, I have no problem with it.
Yeah, no problem either.
He should capitalize off everything he can while he can, you know. But he wants to play. Just the mind that he has. I want to be good, very good at football. I want to be great at football. That's going to lead him a long ways.
And even just listening to him with Gruden yesterday when we were playing some of those cuts, he says the right thing. Mm-hmm. You don't have to worry about him saying something crazy. He's never going to give clickbait. He's never going to give anyone else bulletin board material. He's just going to go out there and play ball, and he's going to do it darn well.
I can say this here. He may not say it in front of a camera or
exactly
a microphone.
Exactly right. Yeah.
But I think he says stuff on the football field.
And
that's when you want guys to be irritated. Because you know what? When you get a little irritated, you do something stupid.
Mm-hmm.
Like you try to come late, you give us 15 yards. Or you try to show me up, and you do something, and you let somebody go past you. And I think he is brilliant at what he does.
And by the way, he's good enough to talk trash on the football field because he's one of the best quarterbacks in the league.
Oh, yeah.
And he plays in D.C.
Most of the good ones do say a little something.
As they should.
Yeah, as they should.
Yeah. Coming up next, Barstool Nate going to join us, dive into the Caps game one win over the Canadiens next here on The Fan.